Thank you, Jesus. Let us just engage the heart of Abba. Let us look in his eyes. Allow your heart to speak to him. Just be silent and allow your heart to speak to him. Let the healing rivers flow. Father, I ask that you let the healing rivers flow. The atmosphere of heaven is getting thicker in this place. I pray you connect to it. I pray you feel it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right. Like I always say, if you need more time to get to the depth of the realms of heaven that we have just engaged, because I see the healing rivers flow. And the atmosphere is getting thicker, it's getting thicker, and I feel the angels of Abba in this place. If you need more time, I ask that you just engage as these words come forth from the rivers of God. Just keep engaging, just allow your heart to expand to the realms of Abba, to expand and to just capture the realms of Abba that he's releasing right now. Because each and every time we delve into the depth of Abba, each and every time that he gives us keys that unlocks our consciousness, there are realms that are released. We're given access to certain realms. And I told you that some of these realms are in being. Some of these realms exist in creatures that we haven't actually seen. So the more we interact with this paradigm, more realms are ushered or brought to us. And I have to send forth a call. The call I have been sent to release right now, the sound of the shofar that I have been sent to release, is interpreted this way: come up hither. Because you will understand that there are things that we shall not be able to capture if we don't ascend. In the previous podcast, I spoke about freedom, and I say that freedom is not the ability to do what you want. And free will expresses a certain dimension of love. So what that means is that when we say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, it doesn't mean that a person who is born of the Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them, they can do what they want, or they are free to do what they want. They are free to choose or live a life that they want. I had a conversation with someone a few days ago, and they were talking about the desire to live their own lives. And I say that is very okay. But the truth is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It means that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, there's a quickening that happens in your mortal body that allows you to become who you are. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in your heart. That is basically the expression of that scripture. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's basically, and I've already spoken about this in a previous podcast, it's basically you being transfigured to the creature that you're meant to be. Your identity comes in two phases: in what you are and who you are. So once we grasp that, we shall know that our liberty comes in the freedom to express who we are. And that is worship. That means freedom in itself is worship. Because when you see God give you free will, he's expressing a certain love. And that love is the reason why each of us are walking this earth right now. That love is the reason why there are spirits that are waiting to come into the earth and express a certain dimension of freedom to those that are walking in the earth. We're not just meant to let's say express or let's say do things the Christian way of doing things, you get, we are meant to express a certain identity of Abba. And when each of us captures these realms of who Abba is, then we can transfer it down to the people and we can unlock those realms. That's when you realize that there are different creatures that I've always spoken about that are assigned to man, just like there are different orders of angels or different classes of angels. I know multiple classes of angels, from the Seraphim, the Galgalim, the Ophanim, the Irin and Kedishin. All these express a certain nature of God. And when we learn that, we realize that man is not the only creature that is simply man. And I say that some of us look at that in the dimension, in the understanding of race, and which to some degree is fallen. Actually, which is fallen to a higher degree, because I told you that each of us have beings that were meant to be transfigured to, from soulish man, you get. And I told you that there's no other man who has ever become a soulish man, save Adam, you get. And we need to understand that. So yesterday when I was praying and engaging Abba, I had a very amazing experience. It baffled me. So while I was praying, my eyes were opened in the night. And when my eyes were opened, which is actually something I want to talk about, because we need to understand that. Before I continue, I need to say this. You need to understand that the laws that are assigned to humans are not the same laws that are assigned to spirit beings, or they are not the same laws that are assigned to the soulish man. So what we look at as the eyes of humans, our two physical eyes, are not the same eyes, or don't carry the same paradigm of as the soulish man. Let me explain what that means. So all of us are human. Let's say every man is born flesh, and that they're human, born flesh and they're flesh. So every flesh that passes this earth has laws that are assigned to it. So you have two eyes, two ears, one nose, one head, you know. Some people, actually there are people I've seen who transgress these laws. The people who are born with weird things, weird experiences, like someone is born with a specific skin or a specific, you know, weird experiences that are not of the Lord. But the same laws that are assigned to human beings, like the two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two ears, are not the same that are assigned to the soulish man. Actually, you realize that Adam didn't look exactly the way we looked. And that's something we need to learn, because there are laws and functionalities that were assigned to the human being. Like, your eyes are for sight, okay? Your tongue is for taste. Those are not the same laws that were given to Adam. So, as much as Adam had eyes, and his eyes were for seeing, his eyes are not the two things that we perceive as eyes. And when I was engaging the Lord the other day, I told you guys in the previous podcast that morning I was transfigured to another creature. And that's when I began to experience these realms. So while I was engaging the Lord during this weekend, I was tapping into some realms of love and intimacy and marriage. I began to see, the Lord was introducing me to a new way that we might pray. And I began to see that, I began to say something about eyes, and I realized that the way the new creature I've been transfigured to sees is not the same way that the previous creature I was sees. I noticed that it's very easy for a man to wake up, that is if they are not blind, and see all these things, or see all these realms, and see everything. But it's very different for a spirit being, because you notice that spirit beings, however much they can see in the spirit, they see what has been fed to them through revelation knowledge. You get? So I can ascend to the spirit realm and see the spirit realm, not exactly the way it is, but depending on how much has been revealed to me. So I'll see it come right down, my experience, put it down, and then say, this is how the spirit realm is. Another man who has been fed a different paradigm based on his identity will ascend, see the spirit realm, and then come down, put down his testimony in a different way, which makes these things very interesting. So as I was engaging the Lord this week, that's when I learned that there are different functionalities assigned to each creature. So yesterday, that's when the Lord opened my eyes, I began to see the different creatures I was. So the different creatures began to show up and hover over me. So the first creature that showed up, I saw, had, should I say this? I had, okay, let's leave that. But the creature didn't look like man. You get? It looked a bit like man, like the way we can have living creatures, and they have the legs of a cow, hooves, but then they have seemingly a body of a man, but then they have, let's say, two hands, but then they have six wings, and then they have four faces. So I began to see such creatures that I was going to become transfigured to, from the first creature to the next, and I began to see all the creatures, and they baffled me because none of these creatures looked exactly the way we perceive that they would look. And I saw the first one, the main one, that I was meant to be transfigured to, and I began to relate with it the whole week. And it's very interesting because that's when I learned, and the Lord began to speak to me and encourage me to speak more about the identity of man, of the first Adam, who was Adam. And he began to encourage me to speak to you guys about the order of the last Adam, but the order of the first Adam as well, because if we don't learn the depth of each of these creatures, then we shall get caught up into doing things, which I always discourage you guys to do, because we're supposed to express who we are and what we do. So let's go to Enoch, the book of Enoch, that I always encourage you guys to read. But there are so many versions out there that we need to be very careful about. So when you go to the book of Enoch, actually Enoch receives, there's one thing I was opening my eyes to this week. The story, it's very funny. I have a little, I'd call him a nephew. My nephew is about 11. He came to me this week and he asked me, you know how kids can have the rarest questions. He came to me this week and asked me, he's like, why is it that, no, he asks, did Moses write the first five books of the Bible? And I'm like, yeah, he did. So he asks me, but it's very interesting because he dies in one of the books. So how did he continue writing the rest of the books? And it's very easy to write of such questions, but it hit me and I was like, very interesting. Now, I don't know the history of all that. I haven't actually gone back into time to see what happened. But then, before that, before he actually asked me that question, the Lord had told me to get a certain book, one of the books that where Moses writes his full account of what happened to him, the things, the experiences. And I learned that when I read that book, I learned that Moses actually received a much deeper testimony than what is recorded in the book of Genesis. Even the creation story he saw was much deeper than what is recorded in the book of Genesis. And I began to ask myself, why is it that we as believers tend to limit ourselves when it comes to the revelation of God? Because I began to weigh and ask the Lord, why is it that, let's say 90% of the paradigm that you've taught me has been in the heavenly library, all the treasuries of books. And then when I come down, the scriptures begin to come to me. You get? The scriptures just begin to draw themselves to me, and I find that I know a scripture that I didn't know before, and I know exactly where it is in the Bible. And when I read it, I know exactly what it means. It's not like back then when I used to get up and I was like the diligent Christian who would get up every morning, pray, then read my Bible. You know, I even actually had a reading plan for the Bible, and I would read, and try to meditate on scripture about nothing. And I used to tell the Lord, why is it that I don't understand what meditating on the scriptures was? And then he actually pulled me aside, and then he told me, I want you to learn how to ascend to heaven. And it's very interesting because I was a guy who didn't even know how to meditate on scripture. I didn't actually understand the basic way of meditating on scripture. But then he was telling me, I want you to learn how to go to heaven. So when I learned how to go to heaven, one of the times I remember I had gone to commune with him because I thought, you know, I'm going to spend the night with Yeshua in heaven, and I'm going to do, you know, whatever it is that he has planned. When I reached there, it's very interesting. One of the spirits of God actually told me, go to the heavenly library. And in my head, I'm thinking, why am I going to the heavenly library yet Yeshua is here? And he told me, no, you go, you're going to find him there. So I went to the heavenly library and I met one of the beings that has really taught me a big part of this gospel, and I began to read. But actually, I remembered before that, it's very interesting. Before that, I used to encounter and have visions of these things, and the Lord had told me, don't interpret them with your logic. Leave those visions alone. Write them down. Don't try and interpret them. Don't tell them. Don't tell anyone about them. Nothing. So it's very interesting. When I got these visions, I didn't tell anyone about them. Some I did. Some that I believed I had a bit of interpretation. But then one day, it's very interesting. One day when I was praying, and I was seated on my bed in my room, and then I saw a creature walking, and I knew that this was the high priest of heaven. Very interesting. So when this being reached me, I just saw this being, and I was like, I knew it was Melchizedek. He just, imagine I was chilling on my bed, you know, I was just relaxing, throwing my legs around, then Melchizedek walks into the room. When Melchizedek walked into the room, he had a scroll in his hands. I couldn't see his face because he had a certain identity that I needed to know, but I couldn't know at the moment. So he gives me a scroll and he tells me, actually, he didn't even speak. He just gave me the scroll. When I took the scroll, he just kept on standing there saying nothing. But I realized that we're speaking in cardiognosis and we're speaking heart to heart. So after that, he left. I don't remember what I did with the scroll. I think it just kind of became a part of me, just kind of molded into my skin somehow, like something like that. And then, very interesting, from that day, I began to understand this gospel. Because from that day, I began to turn into a different creature. And it's very interesting. And something I want to show you in line with the order of the last Adam, because we're basically building onto what creature man is supposed to be. Because I told you that there's a first Adam, a second Adam, and a last Adam. And I can, I'll show you all that in scripture. But then let's go to the book of 2nd Enoch. It's called the book of the secrets of Enoch. When God was creating Adam, it's, let's see, it's chapter 30. It's chapter 30, verse 8. It says, actually, let's go to verse 10. It says, on the sixth day, I commanded my wisdom to create man from seven consistencies. So, like I always told you guys, wisdom is the one that came down to create man. When God said, when God came down to make man, it was wisdom that came down to make man. The wisdom of God, who I told you is a person of God as well. And I'm going to get deep into that one day. Then it says, I commanded my wisdom to create man from seven consistencies. One, his flesh from the earth. Two, his blood from the dew. Three, his eyes from the sun. So your eyes are created from the sun, and that is the eyes of Adam. Very sad. Four, his bones from the stone. Five, his intelligence from the swiftness of angels and from cloud. Then six, his veins and his hair from the grass of the earth. Seven, his soul from my breath and from the wind. So it's very interesting. This week, as I was looking at my Instagram, usually I told someone recently that I have energies that release, that go off from me and kind of don't limit my prophetic to myself, but to everything around me. So usually there are things, there are people that the Lord assigns me to speak to. And it's funny that I don't pick, the Lord doesn't tell me, go and speak to this person. It's very interesting. I'll just open my social media and boom, there they are. And there was no way I could have known them. There's no way that the algorithm could have brought them to me. The Lord just tells me, look at this person. You know what to do. And I'm like, oh, interesting. How did they show up? So something very interesting showed up on my Instagram this week. And I was pondering it, where some scientists found out that the body of man is made from, I think there are some molecules that are taken from, they said it's, I don't remember it well, but it was like a certain, whether, I don't remember whether it was atoms, molecules, or a certain hydrogen or something like that, that is as old as the earth. Now they predict from their full understanding of what time is, the Big Bang Theory and all that, they predict that it's about 13 billion years. So they say the body of man is about 13 billion years based on that component that was taken, that is actually based on the component that is in the earth and was placed in man. So in their fallen understanding, we can extract the truth and realize that, just take it back to our biblical understanding of the creation of man, and we realize that when man was taken from the ground of the earth, you get, wisdom made his his flesh from the earth. So he got the she got the gold dust from the earth and made his flesh, and then got the dew and made his blood, and then got the sun and made his eyes, and then got the stone and made his bones, and then his intelligence was made from the swiftness of angels and from the clouds, and then his veins and his hair from the grass of the earth. You can imagine his veins and the hair on his head was made from the grass of the earth. And we're not talking about the dead fallen earth, we're talking about the righteous earth. So the righteous earth. So everything that actually you see that was placed in man at the time, you realize that he was made from everything that was alive. So there was no way he could be dead. That's why I told you every creature is made from the laws of his dwelling. That means that when they took of the laws of these laws of the earth and made man, you realize that he's actually also made from the swiftness of angels and from the clouds. So a certain part of Shamayim, which is the first heaven or the heavens, was placed in man. You get, that's why the Lord said, after I made man, I opened the heavens and I instructed him to watch the angels singing the songs of victory, which is a mystery I'm not going to get into right now. But it says his soul was made from the breath of the Lord. That's when the Lord breathed the breath of life. And that's actually when wisdom breathed and the breath of life came out of her and entered into Adam. The breath of life is a being, and I'll get much deeper into that another time. But when the breath of life entered into Adam, what happened was she got a part of herself. Now, talking about the breath of life, she got a part of herself and formed the soul of Adam. Now, the soul is in two dimensions. What we refer to as the soul is in two dimensions. They're actually two different laws. We have what we have understood as the soul, which is the soul, which they say that I made the breath of life. It says the soul was made from the breath of life and the wind. Now, what made from the wind is actually what we refer to as the soul. So the soul was made from the wind. You get? But then the breath of life made something, the heart. The other part of the soul, that is the heart. Now, it's not attached to the soul. It's a law of its own that usually people don't understand where to place. You get? They say man is three-dimensional, but they forget that the heart in itself is another dimension of man. And I'll get into it and if the Lord allows in this podcast. But so the breath of life takes a part of herself and breathes the heart into existence. Now you realize that that part that was made into existence, the heart, is an eternal part of man. You get, that's why it says he has placed eternity in the heart of man. Now, what that actually means is that that part of the breath of life, and I really don't have time to get into this, but I'll show you one day, that part is the reason why non-believers who don't have a spirit can access the spirit realm. It's because that part of eternity is placed in their heart. Because, you know, when Adam died, I told you guys in the previous podcast that there was a spirit called the Lord of Spirits that was dwelling in Adam. Now, in the Lord of Spirits, there were all these creatures. There were angels. There were spirits that had not yet been born, spirits that had fallen asleep in... spirits that had not yet been born. There were angels, and there was all placed into the Lord of Hosts. And when the Lord of Hosts entered into Adam, all these things were in Adam. And it's very interesting because Adam was leading creation a certain path. So it's very interesting because when all these things were in Adam, even eternity, it says the eternity was placed in the heart of man. The heart of man was created from the breath of life. You get, so it's that part that is eternal in man. It's like the same way the scientists say that there are components of the earth that are over 13 billion years that are placed in the body of man. So your body could over be, your body has a component that is over 13 billion, it's 13 billion years old. You get, and I'll get into what these guys were actually trying to, because you need to learn how to decipher what these guys are, the agenda of these guys, and I'll get into that. But Adam has the breath of life, and when he fell, the Lord said, when you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge, you shall surely die. And what that actually, I've explained what that means. He fell from being a soulish man and he turned into a human being. So, and when he did that, the breath of life left him. That's why it says in the book of Genesis that my spirit shall no longer dwell in man. You get, and you realize, actually, let's look for it. Let's go there. Yeah, it's Genesis 6:3. It says, actually, let's start from one. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair and took them wives, all of which they chose." Sons of God here refers to both the children of the earth and the spirits that the angels that came from earth. So it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." You get? So when these angels came and chose wives for themselves, you get? When these angels came down, chose wives for themselves, the Lord said his spirit shall no longer dwell in man. So what he was actually referring to was there's that part, his breath that is within. Let's go to Isaiah 42 and I show you this mystery. Isaiah 42 says that just a second. So Isaiah 42 says, it's a very interesting scripture and has a lot to it, but I won't really get to a certain depth in it. But it says, "Behold," actually, let's start from verse 5. It says, "Thus saith God the Lord." Then it says, "He that created the heavens and stretched them out." Pay attention to that. "He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it." And then it says, "He that gave breath unto the people, and to the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein." Now, I told you guys in the previous podcast that we need to learn to differentiate between the persons of God speaking by their identity. Now, usually God knows that because he's the invisible God, not just in the sense of he lives in the invisible realm and the things that are not seen. No, it's actually possible to ascend to heaven and not see God because he's invisible, because there's a certain paradigm and glory that is attached to him that just makes him too much for man, that we can't see. And I told you guys in the previous podcast that seeing is based on what is fed to your eyes, the paradigm that is fed to your eyes. That's the one thing I learned about the creature that I had been transfigured to this week, that it's based on what has been the revelation that has been fed to you. It's very easy for a baby to actually saw this in a certain medical journal, that when babies are born, that they are nearsighted. So there are things that they can't see that are far, just because they haven't yet been fed a specific law. Now, when babies are born, there are laws that are fed to them, even when they're still in the womb, and they can understand a few things. That's why it's very possible to speak words over your child while the child is in the womb, and the child hears them and takes shape of those words and turns into those words. That's why a certain friend of mine told, he had an experience where he met this person and he thought he messed up, and he told this person, "Stop saying that, because I don't want your child coming into the world thinking that he was a mistake or she was a mistake." You get? So babies, even in the womb, can pick up some laws and shape their world. You get? That's why we need to be very careful what we speak. Now, when something is fed to your eyes, it's possible for you to see it. That's why there are realms in heaven that no man has seen, because that revelation has not been fed to their eyes. And yet there are realms on the earth. I told you as well that Adam says he was looking for a builder whose city and maker was God. And yet it's very interesting, because at the time when Adam was saying this, that city had not yet been built. And I told you guys, I'll show you this one day through scripture, that the city had not yet been built. And it was the work of another messianic figure to come in the end and build this city, which actually the Lord was showing me the progress of this week. But Abraham, which still messes me up, thousands of years ago was able to know that there's a city whose builder and maker was God, and he was looking for it. This thing is so amazing. So amazing, because it had been fed to his eyes. And I know people, this is actually another testimony that messes me up. There's a book I read called Visions Beyond the Veil. I think you should look for it. It's a very special book in terms of seeing. And there are these kids who had, I believe they are orphans, and they used to live like in an orphanage. I don't remember it well. I read it very many years ago, like way back. But I remember these kids used to have the manifest presence of God in the place strongly, and they would pray for hours, and God would translate them to heaven and show them heaven and would teach them the tongues of angels and would give them flutes and would take them to their heavenly houses. Now, one of the things that baffled me about their experience that I can remember now is that these kids were taken to the New Jerusalem. And it's very interesting. I told you that the New Jerusalem, based on scripture and based on truth, those two are, the truth that is written in the scripture, you learn that the New Jerusalem is actually built at a specific time. Now, that messes me up because these kids were taken to something that, to the Lord, and the way we understand scripture, those that study scripture, we know that this place had not yet been built or was simply being built. But then God takes them to a place that is already built, which we shall look at if the Lord allows us to keep building on to what we spoke about time earlier. But that's the thing we need to understand. So it says that, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, okay, and stretched them out. Now, I want to show you actually that the breath of life is a person of God that did everything that is being spoken of here. He that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. I'll show you all this was the work of the breath of the Lord. Then it says that he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. Now you see that every man, I remember I once had a conversation with my dad and he told me he loves science and I do love science, but I love the spiritual side of it. And we were having this conversation and he was asking me, he was telling me that one of the things that I have failed to figure out and one of the things that scientists have failed to figure out is how people breathe. It's seemingly unconscious, but can be conscious. Like they can't figure out how man can breathe on his own. Like that's one of the things that I don't remember how he explained it exactly, but he said, how is it that, he was trying to attach a life to breathing? And I remember telling him that breath is not. The air we breathe and what we look at as breathing is not exactly what keeps us alive. It's what this Spirit of God is saying, that he that giveth breath unto the people. And trust me, every single night I make sure I have a breath of life, or I breathe the breath of the Spirit of life every single night, so that I can be transfigured to different creatures. This is how actually one of the dimensions of my ministry to God, like where we're having intimacy, I make sure I get so deep where I feel the breath of life breathing on the inside of me. You get, and shall speak about that another time. Then it says, and spirit of them that walk therein. Now, this spirit of them that walk therein is this thing that I was explaining to you, the guys, about when you get born again, the Lord comes, or the Spirit of God comes into you and forms your spirit on the inside of you. Otherwise, if every man was born with a spirit, it wouldn't say to them that walk therein, giveth spirit to them that walk therein. Walking therein is already having a certain life. That means you're not born with a spirit. It would have said give a spirit to them that are born or something like that. But it says them that walk therein. That means when a man walks this earth and is drawn unto the Lord, when the person is drawn to the Lord and they come to Jesus, they receive salvation. But I told you there's a difference between receiving salvation and being born again. You're not born again the moment you receive salvation. You're only born again when they give you that spirit, when something is formed within you. When that spirit is formed within you, then you become born again. That is the new creature, the kainos. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but I was basically showing you that when God told, I believe, when God spoke in Genesis 6:5 and said that, my spirit shall no longer strive with man, he was basically speaking about the breath that dwelt inside of man. Because the breath of life left Adam. You get? The breath of life left Adam when he fell. But that didn't mean that the part that she formed within Adam, the heart that has where God placed eternity, left Adam. That nature stayed in Adam. And that's the reason why many of us are alive, actually. Many people are alive, not because of their heart beating or their medical condition. Not because of keeping a healthy lifestyle, but because that part, God still breathes life to people through that. And I told you that that is actually how many of our worlds are formed, that eternity that is placed in the heart of man. I remember God once asked me a question, a very interesting question. He asked me, it's very different when God asks you these questions. He asked me that, Where do you think I dwelt before I created heaven and earth? And my initial answer, of course, it was eternity. You dwelt in eternity. Then he said that, saying that, you are touching or you are attributing an eternal nature to eternity, meaning that eternity is not created. Now, when he said that, he kind of said one word that just made me understand the whole thing. So he began to tell me that if you say that eternity is not created, okay, and I dwelt in eternity before I created heaven and earth, that means that eternity coexisted with him. And I was like, okay, wow. Then he showed me, actually he told me eternity is created, and he gave me actually a scripture for it. And I saw that there's a scripture that says actually in, it's actually not, I don't, not yet found it in the Bible, but I think there's one in Ecclesiastes or Lamentations that speaks about, I won't look for it, but it speaks about before eternity, he that was before eternity. Now that when he told me about that, he told me eternity is a realm that exists in heaven. So when I created the heavens and the realms therein, I created eternity, I created the heaven of heavens, I created the realms of perfection, so eternity is a part of heaven. So he asks me again, where did I dwell before I created heaven and the earth? Now that's where he began to teach me the depth of where he dwelt. And he told me that before anything was I am, he was the only one that existed. And you need to realize that when God says he was the only one that existed, most of us believe, if you think like me, I believe that God lived in some black abyss because there was nothing. He was in some black place. He was floating in air. And you get, then it hits me that if he was floating in a certain place, that meant that that place coexisted with God, which is not true. We know that God is the only being that is. It doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an ending. Usually we attach, we ask ourselves questions like, where did God come from because of time? Because time, we believe time is in linear progression. So it moves day one, day two, day three. So we attach that understanding to God as well. And by the keep in mind, I haven't actually begun to touch what I want to touch. I'm just laying a foundation for something. So he taught me about dwelling places. And then he said that every man has a dwelling place on the inside of him. That's why my spirit is able to dwell on the inside of you. And he told me that even I have a dwelling place. And before I created anything, I dwelt in myself. And that baffled me. It messed me up. And he began to show me the being that he dwelt inside. And I learned that everything that was created was simply to mirror the inside of God, where God dwelt before he created. And actually, there's a scripture that says that in 2nd Enoch, it says that I laid the foundations of things above, and it says I said to the spirit, let me show you a bit of this. Now actually, one of the spirits that God used to create, there are actually two spirits, something called the two spirits of creation, and they're actually written in the Bible, and I'll show them to you in the book of Isaiah. They're greatly prophesied about in the book of Isaiah. And it says in 2nd Enoch chapter 25, it says, and I commanded in the very lowest parts that visible things should come down from invisible. And then it says, and Adoel came down. Mark that, Adoel. And I beheld him, and lo, he had a belly of great light. And I say to him, become undone, Adoel, and let visible come out of you. And he came undone, and a great light came out, and I was in the midst of the great light. And as there is born light from light, there came forth a great age. So remember that the light that we see now was born from eternal light. So there's a dimension, something I'm studying, that the light that is born, the light that was where God said, let there be light, was not created, it was made. You get, that's why it says, as there is born light from light. He didn't create the light. He just made the light. You get, so there's, we're going to study light sometime. So he says, says, and he came undone, and a great light came out, and I was in the midst of the great light, and as there is born light from light, there came forth a great age and showed all the creation which I had thought to create, and I saw that it was good. And I placed for myself a throne and took my seat on it and said to the light, Go up thence higher and fix yourself above the throne and be a foundation to the highest things. And above the light there is nothing else. And then I bent up and looked up from my throne. Now, there's a spirit. One of the spirits of creation is called Adoel, or the light of creation. So one of the spirits, that spirit is what we call the foundations of upper things. Now, there's another spirit that comes and creates the lower things. That's why what I was showing you in the book of Isaiah, I actually have a podcast I've done on this spirit, but I feel very led to touch it. So it says that, thus saith the Lord God, this is Isaiah 42:5, he that created the heavens, you get? Now, this is the spirit Adoel, that where light was born from light. He that created the heavens and stretched them out. Now, you do know that when he said that, go thence up, Adoel, and become a foundation of higher things, this spirit, who is called Adoel, or the light of creation, stretched forth the heavens until the very top. And what happened is, when he became a foundation, actually, let me rephrase that, because this spirit manifests itself as a she. And I'll explain that as a mother, and I'll explain that, because we have known about the father of creation, but we have barely known about the mother of creation. And I'll explain why sometime. But creation, just as much as creation needs a father, it needs a mother as well. You get? And, all right. But the mothering of creation will be revealed in a specific time. But right now, the earth needs a father. That's why we have known about the father of lights. Not necessarily because the father is greater than the mother, but many of you need to learn about many of you need to learn about this mystery. So it says that, and stretched them out. He that created the heavens and stretched them out. And I spoke to you about the great right hand of Macomb, the spirit, Adoel, the light of creation, that created the heavens and stretched them out. That's why I told you guys, you need to learn this when which person of God is speaking. Whenever God says, thus saith the Lord, and he describes a specific nature, he's not just trying to show you who is speaking, but he's trying to show you who is going to fulfill a specific mystery. That's why sometimes it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, and his redeemer, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, and his redeemer, the Lord of hosts. All that is speaking about messianic figures, because God in his entirety is invisible. What he does is he created images, or when he made the word flesh and wisdom, flesh as well, it was the first time men or spirits could relate and see God. Before that, it was impossible. That's why he said, he told Adoel, let the invisible come out of you. Let the visible come out from the invisible. So God in himself, even before he created, he was, we can say, invisible. You get, he still had that nature to him. So it says, thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. Now, I won't show you this much later. It says, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Now, we know that this person who's speaking, this person of God speaking in Isaiah 42:5 is Adoel, one of the spirits of creation. You get? Now, I was basically showing you that so that I can tell you that when Adoel went and became a foundation of higher things, there is nothing above him. Trust me. No man can get there, but I know what I'm talking about, because there is, usually when we picture and say that there is nothing somewhere, we imagine, I think I've said this before, we imagine that a place is filled with simply a vacuum. You know, it's a vacuum. No, it's not a vacuum. There's literally nothing. And when God says there's nothing, there is nothing. I don't know how I can explain that to you, but I know what he's talking about. You get? So, back to the point. So, when we talk about the eternity that dwells in the heart of man, this is who we are talking about, this spirit. This spirit came inside Adam, okay? And when this spirit came inside Adam, he formed the heart of Adam, what is referred to as in 2nd Enoch as the soul. He created this, he made the soul, actually the soul is made, he made the soul from the wind, what we refer to as the soul. And I told you that men that walk the earth after Adam, none of them possesses a soul, none of them. That's why it says renew your mind, you get, because your soul needs to be regenerated, renewed. Your soul needs to be transfigured to what it was, because it's not a soul anymore. when Adam fell, that what he had as a soul died. Everything died. His flesh died, his soul died, his heart to some degree, which his heart, which was eternal, actually didn't fall. It just retained its a veil was created so that men could not exactly interact with it. That's why you notice that when people through meditation in the occult world and all these practices bypass that veil, they tap into the spirit realm, not because they have a spirit, but because there is a part of God in every man, which is the heart, which was an eternal part of God in every man that was left inside man so that he could live. God was this faithful to put this in Adam. Had we not had that, Adam could have literally fallen asleep, like in fallen asleep in the terms of dying literally, because we know that we live on God's life. That is it. You get there is it's not about our health. So and whenever you receive a word, I told you, it goes and forms a world on the inside of you. It goes and forms a world. That's why things like the name of Jesus is a realm of its own. That's why it says you cast out demons in my name. When you enter inside the name of Jesus, that realm which many of us are now living in as a spirit being, when you enter inside that realm and walk as a spirit being, the depth to which you have tapped into it, you will demonstrate these things on earth, even without saying in the name of Jesus. Because I showed you that when they came to arrest Jesus, and those demons had actually possessed these men, and they came, they said, "Where is Jesus of Nazareth?" And he did not say, "I am Jesus." He said, "I am he." And then, because he is the name, these guys fall. Because, anyway, let's leave that. But the heart, I didn't intend to speak about the heart, but I do realize that we need to understand that there is a difference between the laws of soulish man, the laws of human beings, and the laws of man. You get what we refer to as a soul in Adam is a shadow in human beings. And I told you there's a scripture that Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And I told you, had Adam not fallen, there wouldn't be a shadow of the Almighty. You get, had the Almighty walked the earth as man, it would be referred to as the soul of the Almighty. So the shadow of the Almighty is basically the soul of the Almighty. And that said, it means that the Almighty walked the earth. And I'm not talking about Yeshua. We shall get deep into that mystery. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Abba was telling me, you need to encourage people to live basic Christianity and ascend to the place where my heart is. I told you guys in one of the podcasts that about the vision a friend of mine had, where this God comes down, creates a veil, and when the veil was created, the Father was on the other side. Many didn't realize, and I'm not going to talk about that right now because many of you will not understand the depth of it. But when that veil was created, he and a lot of people who are deep in the spirit feared to enter. Not that they feared, they only saw from out and said, "This is that, this is that, this is that. This is a god that swims." And his wife says, "No, it's a fish that flies." But all of this they were experiencing on the outside. But then young children entered on the inside and they worshipped the Father in spirit and in truth. I told you that in spirit and in truth, regardless of all the interpretations that have been said out there, I have not had a perfect one, a more perfect one, or a much deeper one than that, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You get, when Jesus is speaking about the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth, he was talking about those that were going to ascend in spirit and in truth. And I told you guys, Jesus came out, however much Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, his ministry on the earth was as the way. And I'm going to explain that some other time. But then he needed to return as the truth, and then needed to return as the life. That's why there are three advents. Or the Lord comes in the earth three times, which is actually reflected in the song, "Holy, Holy, Holy, the Lord who is, was, and is to come." I told you, is to come is the time when Jesus, or no, not Jesus, it's the time when the Messiah comes into the earth. That's why the song changed in the spirit when the first Messiah came. It says, holy, holy, the Lord that was in Jesus, the Lord that is, that we shall talk about, and the Lord that is to come in the day of the Lord. That song is attached to Jesus, the coming of the Messiahs into the earth. I don't know how much I can stress it, but I know it's a very delicate topic to think about another Messiah other than Yeshua himself, our Lord. But we need to learn that we are living in the days, like I told a friend of mine recently, we're living in the days, as Abba told me a few years ago, that the days of Habakkuk, where he says, I will work a work in your days that you shall not believe even if it was told you. And when he told me about that mystery, I said, surely we are living in those days. And I saw it and I was like, I know what this scripture means. They told me this mystery, but it was hard for me to believe. Not exactly hard, but I was too messed up and I couldn't figure out how this is even possible. You get? But let me actually wind up with this, because I'm still building a foundation on identity. I told you identity comes in two things: what you are and who you are. So who you are cannot change. Who you are is dependent on what you are. I can't say I am the righteousness of God, and yet I have not been born of the Spirit of God. It's impossible. There you need. That's why it says, he that is born of flesh is flesh, and he that is born of spirit is spirit. And I told you the first Adam was a soulish man, second Adam a quickening spirit. Then there's another Adam that comes in the end. Jesus says, you shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now that is when the Lord comes as the truth. And for the first time, when we encounter Jesus as the truth, then we worship him in truth. Because we understand that when we look at Jesus as truth, we're transfigured to the truth. When you look at Jesus as the way, we are transfigured to the way. Okay, that's why it says, I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he is saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. I told you, going in and out is the experience of seeing the kingdom. He that is born, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom. But it says, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And I was talking about being born of water and the Spirit multiple times. It's very different from being born again. Okay? So, since we have come full circle, let's go back to what I was telling you guys about the laws of man. When Adam fell, he was, the Bible refers to him as a living soul or a soulish man. Adam lived on the life of God that dwelt in him, in his heart actually. That, because we are not the first being with an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Adam did. Adam had it. You get? That's why to some dimension David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Even when the Holy Spirit had not yet been given for an indwelling, it says that who led them in the wilderness by the right hand of Moses, you get. And it says that the arm of the Lord was on the right hand of Moses. It says, awake, awake, O arm of the Lord. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it that hath split the seas, the waters of the great deep? So you learn that Moses by the arm of the Lord, by Adoel, Moses by Adoel, the spirit of the light of creation, split the seas. Moses, by the same spirit, split or cut what we call cut Rahab, and by the same spirit, wounds the dragon in the end. You notice it says that Michael. let me show you guys the scripture. Revelations, I believe it's 11 or 12, speaks about the Virgin of God, and it says that when this, let's go to Revelations 11. I'll end with this. Revelations 11, I believe it's 12, Revelations 12, let's see what it says, yeah, it's 12 actually. So Revelation 12 says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We shall talk about this lady one day. I know her very well. And she being with child cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wind in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I have seen this happen with my eyes. And it says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. You know, we need to stop being very symbolic. Okay, we need to begin to understand the scriptures the way they come, to the in the depth that God speaks about. I've heard so many people saying this is Jerusalem and this is Israel. You know, all these things, you get. But you need to understand that this child that is born with a rod of iron that I've showed you in so many podcasts, is this actually second, this other messianic figure that we see. And this lady is Jerusalem, the mother of all. And I told you that the time came where the earth needed the father, but a certain place where the earth, you notice that it speaks about those that are born in Zion. The people that are born in Zion are born of Jerusalem, the mother of all. You get Micah 4 something says that, and he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor. Let's go there. I need to show you guys these things and show you that all this is in scripture. It's just that your eyes had not been fed this, but the Lord is doing something special. Micah 4, start from verse 1, it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For now I've spoken about it. It says, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord. Remember I told you guys, there's a difference between the word of the Lord and the word of God. It says, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he. So it says, there is a being called the law of God, and there is a being called the word of the Lord. And it says, he shall judge among the peoples. Hey, you guys. I've spoken about this mystery so many times, I don't want to go back to it. But what I was driving at is, when we go down to Micah 4 something, it says, Where is it? Micah 5, it says, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand his counsel. For he shall gather them as sheaves into the flow. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. And I told you guys about the threshing floor, or you get, in the previous podcast. And I will make thy hoofs brass. Remember that there is a being who is portrayed as Yeshua, whose hooves are brass. Keep in mind that. And it says, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate thy gain unto the Lord, and thy substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now, the part I was looking for actually, which I can't seem to find, says, you look for it in Micah, it says that, and he shall give them up until the time that, it says, 4:9 says, now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counsel perish? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Then it says, there shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Look for it, it's in Micah. It says that he shall give them forth until the time that she who is in labor has brought forth. Then it says, and then shall the remnant. So it speaks about a time where there's a lady who's Jerusalem. Here is referred to as the daughter of Zion, and I'll explain why. It says that this lady is in travail, birth pains and all that, like we've seen in Revelation 12. And it says that the Lord shall give them up until that lady gives birth. So when this lady gives birth, her child is caught up immediately to God, which is, it's not symbolic, it's a real thing. You get, just the way Mary was a virgin and brought forth the Son of the Lord, or the child of the Lord, there's another virgin as well. I was telling someone recently that there's a pattern of twos in the Bible that if you pay attention to, you'll see two judgments, two harvests. There are two virgins. This is the second virgin. There's a first virgin who is Mary, the mother of the Messiah, son of Joseph. There's another virgin who is the mother. That's why it says that I shall bring... let me not get into that. But all I was trying to say is that there are different creatures that were meant to be transfigured to. The redemption of the Lord doesn't end in being a spirit being, and we shall go back to heaven and abandon, you know, and abandon everything about the earth. You get, there's a reason why all of creation is being redeemed. You get? And that said, we shall build on to this next week, hoping the Lord, you know, allows. But we need to understand, I told you that the eyes that Adam had are not the eyes that we have. We have eyes based on... Let me tell you guys about an experience. I was... Should I? Okay, another time. But the eyes that Adam had, these two eyes, are not the same eyes or don't function the same way that Cain's did. Because by the time Adam had fallen, he brought forth from his fallen nature. So what we saw of Cain and his sister, and Abel and his sister, and Seth and his sisters, were not what was of Adam and Eve. Because when God created Adam and Eve, and I'm going to talk, touch this, hoping at the one of our School of Ascension, hoping I'm actually going to touch it so that we can relate with this to a certain depth. So I will not talk about it now, but we need to understand that the ears, when Adam was made, his ears were not for hearing. You get? Another part was assigned for hearing. That's why I tell you there's a very big difference. When you meet Adam, you'll notice that there's a very big difference between you and him. You get it? And then when you meet the Messiahs themselves, you notice that there's a very big difference between the Messiahs and you, because they labor to become a different creature. You get? Well, many believers simply labor to do this, do that, you know, make believers of nations, which is a very good thing. But we, anyway, let me end with this. Going back to the experience I had, my heart right now is to help you guys see the kind of creature you're supposed to be transfigured to. Each of us have laws. And when we become these laws, when God gives us a specific identity, when we become that identity, then men can see God that way. You get? We are making the invisible, we're giving image to the invisible God. I told someone recently that it's possible to see something without necessarily seeing the image. You get? And know about it. It's very possible for an angel to appear in your room, and then somehow you can see it, but you can't see it. You can... can see its shape, you can see the size of its arms, you can gauge how tall it is, you can, even without necessarily seeing its image. And that to itself is a certain dimension of seeing. But we need to learn that that kind of seeing is attached to a specific kind of being. You can practice it, but it's attached to a specific kind of being. I told you guys that Jesus wasn't somewhere in his closet practicing how to walk on water. No, he was not. He wasn't somewhere practicing how to walk through walls. There are too many things to practice. What Jesus was cultivating in his being was becoming a different creature. So when he became that different creature, he could... this creature can walk through walls. It's not limited. It had its freedom. That's why I told you guys, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus in himself received a spirit to do everything that he did. And that messes some people up. You get? But you need to understand, that's why he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do this and that. You get? He understood and he cultivated, while living in the wilderness, he cultivated all that mystery. And he came back entirely living on the Spirit of the Lord. He lived entirely on God. He relied on God. That's why he says, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it and say what I hear my Father say. That doesn't mean that he has to always look to the Father to see what the Father is saying, or he has to listen to see what to hear what the father is saying or doing. No, that's not what it means. It has been understood. What Jesus meant there to one dimension was that, you know, when the father came and said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." What the father was saying, whatever he has said, I have said. Whatever he does, I have done. You get? That's what Jesus meant. I have become the being. The father and I. He said, I am in the father and the father and I. That means that what we look at as doing the will of God, this is something the Lord told me in 2:18 and it stunned me. He says, I'm not trying to make people become slaves to my will. Now, you need to understand that it's a very delicate thing to say for the religious church right now, but it's true. God is not trying to make you a slave to his will because he understands that there needs to be a participation. Love, I told you, redemption is a two-way street, and so is love. Love can't be one-sided. So if God simply tells you this and do, obedience, 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 without the understanding of intimacy, there's a place where it becomes stale and you cease to become obedient because you're simply doing what the Father tells you. But what the I remember Jesus once told me that I don't want people to simply do my will. I want them to be my will. You get? That meant that if I sent you out as a prophet of God, I don't want you to simply go there because I told you to go there. I want you to go there because we both share the same burden. You understand that when I send you there as a prophet of God, you go with the same burden as if it was the Lord himself going. And when you reach there, God will speak through you. And then it's glorious. And I'll get deeper into that another time. But this has been my show for today. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that we continuously engage this river. Now there's a river of healing that I want us to engage right now. You can just continue engaging this river of healing. It's not healing in the sense of sickness, health. You can receive that kind of healing if you want. Healing for your mortal body. If whatever disease you have right now, there's a river of healing right now flowing. So you're healed by, you know, the Spirit of God. But this kind of healing is not that kind. It's the kind of healing that was where you're transfigured from mortal to immortal. You get? So when we're talking about healing, your eyes, we're not talking about having necessarily eyes that don't see well or you being blind. No, there's room for that. But we're talking about healing where your eyes are returned to the same nature as Adam's was. So whatever Adam would see, you can see. You get? That's the kind of healing we're talking about. And it's here. And I pray you engage it. Send me your testimonies. And we'll see how we can keep engaging this. Thank you.